I gotta get to the Blue Jays, because I think we've established. Well, Ryan, how did you classify? Because you talked about number of games before.
Yeah, well, when we chatted on Tuesday, you said, I think it was you, Brent, said, you know, 60 is a good measuring
games.
Point. And then
yeah.
Shapiro said 40 yesterday. Rhett right. had the home opener as a must win. So
no,
this
no.
was a smaller
Oh,
number.
Yeah, it was a home opener. Yeah.
And that was the fifth game of the year. So and yeah. they were 2-2. So we all have different thresholds on when it's not good to be not playing well.
Yeah, when the appropriate moment to panic is, you mean?
Mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere between the home opener and the 60th game. So when we're in there now.
It's a big window, yeah. Yeah,
yeah we're in that window now. And
let me ask you that. Now, Shapiro came on, was it Jeff Blair? Talked to somebody radio-wise yesterday. And he's not going to come out and say, we're in full panic mode. We don't know what is the issue. We're looking for trade. He's not going to do that. But is he taking it as loosey-goosey as he's making it sound, or is there some genuine concern, even though, as some will say, it's
Can
early?
I add to that and say, and if they are taking it loosey-goosey, is that not part of the issue?
Well, again, loosey-goosey, I don't know. And he did not sound on... I was on with Blair, and Mark was on with us.
Oh, well, then,
I guess it was yesterday. So, yeah, he did not sound unconcerned. And especially talking about the bullpen and the issues that they've had in that kind of setup role, he didn't sound unconcerned. He sounded concerned and acknowledged that was an issue and, you know, kind of opened the door to speculate about how they could fix that issue, because they don't have a lot of internal options other than the ones that they're trying to make work, which are Brett Cecil and Drew Storen. You know, I think he opened up the idea of them going out and getting somebody else in that role, although, you know, doing that early in a season is really tricky, and relief pitchers are kind of overvalued in the baseball economy these days, and, you know, teams aren't out of it, so you're not dealing with teams that are out of it, and the Jays don't have a lot of prospect capital to deal anymore because they cleaned house that way the last 2 years to make the deals they made. So, I don't think he's unconcerned. You know, the trickier one. So that's an obvious issue, and that's an obvious issue with this team. You know, Brett Cecil, pitcher wins and losses can be a deceiving statistic. You know, it's not the best way to measure things sometimes, but they've lost 13 games, and Brett Cecil has 4 losses. So that tells you something. You know, that those are all at very least winnable games that were lost by the back end of the bullpen. That's one issue, but the more puzzling one. You know, like Brett Cecil struggled at the beginning of last year and then got himself kind of righted the ship. Drew Storen has a long track record, although he's not looked right so far in Toronto. And, you know, I think there are some of us who wonder if he might be hurt, but we'll see. But how do you explain the offense? You know, how do you explain a team that kind of lapped the field in terms of runs scored last year in the American League, had one of the greatest offensive years in the history of baseball, scuffling the way they are, all the strikeouts? How do you explain that? You know, Donaldson's having a great start, looks, you know, and really Encarnacion, Bautista, you can't argue with what either of those guys have done. But, you know, you realize that so much of what happened last year wasn't just the three of them. It was, you know, the production you got from Kevin Pillar and Ryan Goins kind of unexpectedly, you know, Russ Martin having his best offensive year. There were a bunch of other things that factored into that team being very hard to pitch to and kind of wearing down opposing pitchers. And right now they're pretty easy to pitch to. You know, you tippy-toe around Josh Donaldson and the other two, but, you know, everybody else, they're striking out at an unbelievable rate. And the problem in baseball is it's not about not trying hard. And it's not, you know, go out and take some extra BP and you'll be fine. There's just the margins are so tiny, and it's about kind of fine motor skills and, you know, how you're seeing a ball and, you know, how you react to it in a split second. And if you try harder and grip the bat harder, sometimes it just makes you worse. It always just makes you worse. And you got to play 162 times. So it's not like getting jacked up for one game on a Sunday afternoon. You know, it's very, you can't just say, well, they ought to be, you know, go out and hit something, because it doesn't work that way. And teams do sometimes go into an offensive funk altogether, you know, which is kind of what we're seeing here. But I guess what it does is it begs the question, even with what looks like a very good pitching starting rotation right now. You know, Ari Dickey's Ari Dickey, but the other four guys have been better than you could have imagined them being. It's been a strength of this team, pitch deep into games. Assume the bullpen kind of rights itself. Osuna has been, you know, lights out as a closer. You do have a closer, so you try and find a way to bridge to Osuna. But is that pitching good enough if this team is not going to go out and score runs at something close to the rate it did last year? You know, it, like a lot of things went right last year, and now you're seeing some things go wrong. It went right in the second half of last year, but now you're seeing some things going wrong, and you kind of think, okay, what do these pieces actually add up to? Does this add up to a postseason? Does this add up to a playoff team? You know, what's Troy Tulowitzki? You know, what is he right now? You know, is he a really good defensive shortstop who is not the offensive player he was 2 or 3 years ago? You know, is this him? You know, or are we waiting for him to bounce back and become that guy? You know, is Russ Martin, you know, ever going to look comfortable at the plate this year? Because he hasn't for 1 second. You know, and if those things don't happen, you know, you got a very different scenario than you did last year.
I was specifically just looking at those two guys. Russ Martin is 30% higher than his normal strikeout rate, which is to say this is the worst he's played in the majors in terms of if this was going to be his career numbers by miles and miles. Tulo's strikeout rate is 10% up. How do guys fall off a cliff, or do we just need to be patient and know that they can't be this much off their career trajectories?
I guess you have, you know, again, you kind of have to take the long view and say they're, you know, now Russ Martin has had some seasons, not great offensive seasons, but of course you get value from Russ Martin because he catches. He's so good defensively, and he's so important in terms of your pitching staff. And I guess you could say the same thing about Tulowitzki. You know, but yeah, I guess the approach is that guys will kind of, you know, eventually they'll come back to the mean. You know, that they'll be something like they've been in the past. You know, maybe not the best of their seasons, but somewhere kind of the things will kind of average out over a long season. And I think generally that's true, but. You know, sometimes, again, last year you had some guys do things, not necessarily the two of them, but, you know, the Russ had a lot of home runs last year, but, you know, you had guys do things last year that they'd never done before offensively. You had some guys on this team that had, you know, career years or breakthrough years like Pilar, where, you know, a guy who a lot of people thought was a fourth outfielder at best, and suddenly he's making highlight reel catches and he's a good offensive player or a decent offensive player. Ryan Goins is a terrific defensive player who, you know, became a competent offensive player in the second half of the season. You know, what if those are aberrations, though? And those guys kind of regress to, you know, what people might have thought they were in terms of their pedigree. You know, Goins really a glove-first utility infielder. Kevin Pillar, you know, again, a fourth outfielder. You know, then again, the equation is different. And maybe if the pitching's good enough, maybe that's fine. You know, you still got those big, big bats in the middle of the lineup. But we don't, you know, we haven't seen a formula here yet that works. And, but we're not at 40 games or 60 games. So, you know, I don't think anything is going to change in the near term.
Well, I'll say this. Between the bullpen and the bats, it's conceivable that there's enough not going well for this team that if they start to improve even by, you know, marginal amounts, that things can turn around, because the AL East is not a powerhouse.
That's right.
And that's really all it comes down to. And I know that sounds, you're shaking your head, but it's true, until that, because that's what we talk about with the Calgary Flames all winter. It's a good thing they're in this division or they'd be out. And it's not how you measure the success. But if the bullpen can stop blowing games and if the bats can come alive a bit and the division stays at the rate it's at, then they probably will be okay.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to run away in the AL East. They might, you know, everybody's got issues. Every one of those teams has got issues, every one of those teams is having people are having the same kind of discussions about them right now. You know, Baltimore got off to a better start than people expected, but there's holes there, and Tampa has issues. Chris Archer hasn't looked quite like Chris Archer so far this year. People are wondering about that. Boston has questions in the rotation. They've even talked about, you know, Craig Kimbrell and whether they ended up with a guy they thought they were going to get in terms of the closer. Yankees rotation is still a bit of a mess, and they're really, really old, and Alex Rodriguez can't catch up with a fastball. You know, you're going to go through all those teams and come up with kind of the same kind of discussion, but you know, I guess if you're going to kind of go glass half full with the Jays, you'd say, you know what, if the bullpen had been average, if the seventh, eighth inning guys had been average, this team is three games over 500 instead of three games under 500. And this year that puts you, you know, right at the top of the division. So they're, you know, even with the offensive struggles, they're not far off. And again, I think most people think the offense will get a bit better. Maybe not last year better, but better. And, you know, Brett Cecil kind of found it last year about 6 weeks into the season. And, you know, you're sitting and hoping he finds it. I don't know about Drew Storen because I just haven't seen enough of him to kind of understand what the, you know, kind of arc of his season might be. But, you know, Brett Cecil, we have seen him do exactly what he's doing now and then kind of snap out of it and get the feel for that curveball again. So, you know, I guess right now what you're doing is hoping that that happens.
We've talked before about the power of social media and the way the internet works in this day and age. I don't know if there's been an example of the ground crumbling under someone's feet, quite like Laremy Tansel at the NFL draft last night. I mean, whether or not he did it, how long ago is Miami?
Well, he did it.
You know, are they dumb to take him? Were there, you know, 12 other teams that were dumb not to take him? But to watch Twitter and Instagram affect this man's life,
yeah,
so profoundly is really scary and amazing at the same time.
Yeah, I guess I give him points for creativity. It was quite an apparatus, but you know, it seems like a lot of work to go to for the, you know, you could do that. There's a lot of simpler ways of doing that, but it, you know, the weird thing is, so this guy might have been the number one if it wasn't people looking for a quarterback. Conceivably, he could have been the first overall. Certainly was going to go in the top five, probably in the top three. And, you know, and again, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with him and his stepfather who is suing him. And, there's suggestions that the stepfather is the guy who actually posted that stuff yesterday. And if he was trying to wreck something for the kid, he did, because it cost him, I think, I think Darren Revelle, the ESPN guy, estimated cost him $7 million yesterday in terms of his draft position. But, you know, what did we learn about this guy that, you know, killed him in the NFL draft? That, well, we learned that at some point in his youthful life, he smoked marijuana. And we learned that the University of Mississippi, good old Ole Miss, somebody handed him money to pay his mother's rent and electrical bills, which, of course, does violate. You know, I think there were a bunch of heads exploding down at Ole Miss yesterday.
Yeah, stunning.
But do either of those things actually shock you?
No.
Shock me? No.
You know, do you think that either of those things are actually going to have an impact on whether this guy, you know, again, everybody's going to say, well, look at Johnny Manziel. You know, people had qualms about his character. He fell down the board. And guess what? The qualms were well-founded because the guy's a car wreck. But my guess is that Miami probably got a steal here. And the kid passed the drug tests at the combine. I don't know why they test for marijuana anyway, but they do, and he did pass it. He probably got handed some money under the table, or he did get handed some money under the table at college. But that would be like, yeah, virtually everybody. And I'm kind of rooting for the kid now. You know, I hope he goes out there and has, you know, and tears it up. I hope he does because again, the NFL is a funny, you know, it's different than other leagues that way, right? They can think of all the testing they do on these guys. It's kind of like the CFL is the polar opposite, where they really, once you leave the facility, you know, for your however many hours they're allowed to practice you during a day or during camp, they don't care what you do. Right? No one, like, they brought in drug testing this year, or that's back this year, you know, but really reluctantly. They weren't crazy about doing it. They didn't want to spend the money on it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, they don't care, you know. Well, and again, I'm not sure anybody should care about what guys do recreationally, unless it really directly comes into the workplace. You know, if you're a drunk or you've got a drug addiction, then it's affecting your work. Then, you know, whether you're working there or you're working here, somebody would notice it. But, you know, I believe they're about to legalize that substance in our country.
Well, just so you know, and this is the honest to goodness truth, I have one of those masks. No, it doesn't have one of those big bongs attached to it.
Party at Rhett's place. Let's go.
I just canceled it. Yeah.
I do have one of those rubber masks at my house.
Because you do a lot of mosquito fogging.
Yeah, I do a lot of fogging.
A lot of fogging. Yeah.
I contracted the SARS virus and felt the need to
get yourself a mask.
I couldn't help but think of 1998 last night Stephen, when Randy Moss was this incredible talent coming out of Marshall, but everyone was like trouble, and he eventually was one of the great players in NFL history. I mean, this really is quite a brew that teams have to do at the draft table with character versus talent.
Well, and they get it wrong, right? Like, look at Ryan Leaf. They get it really wrong sometimes. They do all of those tests, and they do, you know, and they all of those interviews, and they kind of assess guys what they say, and they assess their body language, and they, you know, and then somebody drafted Ryan Leaf, you know,
same year as Moss, went second after Manning.
yeah. So you know, it's you know, they were wrong on Jamarcus Russell, right? They've been wrong on a lot of guys. So look, you do want to kind of know. You know, have a sense of kind of what human being you're dealing with. Of course you do. You know, that's why people have job interviews. That's why they don't just hire people based on resumes. But, you know, this kind of, the kind of weird panic that set in last night, you know, two teams want a quarterback, so there's going to be 10 other teams kicking themselves, I think, down the road. That's what I would predict.
Well, thank you for this.
Yes.
I think we've got a good little quote from you there about that we may play one. Once or twice about the apparatus, and there's easier ways to do that. So we appreciate that. Have a fine weekend.
Use it as you feel appropriate.
Yeah, we will. Have a good one, man.
See you guys.